from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. It's a sunny morning. It's the 14th day of July. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all y'all out there out the Supernatural Highway I-20 in Covington. Shout out to Sports Rev.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Who's out there?
Folks out there.
Hey, listen, you hear what we're coming back with?
Yeah, man.
You want a good video here. Watch? Have you ever seen Prince do this song?
No.
My man, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Google or go to YouTube and do Prince Play That Funky Music.
Okay.
He comes, first of all, the band is already going at it. They're up on stage. He is lifted up to the stage from underneath.
Okay.
With the fuzzy white boots and the heels. And it's, of course, it's a Prince outfit. But I'm telling you, his version of this is incredible. It's just a great watch. Been doing that a lot. I've been seeing some performances I haven't seen in a while.
Well, I've introduced you to a couple. So
yes, you have. What was the one last week you had us watching? Yeah, if you weren't here last week, did it for the first time on a Sunday morning, of course, played Ave Maria by Luciano Pavarotti.
Yeah.
And then Sam went, did you know he sings with James Brown? Like you could have said played shortstop for the Yankees. It would have made my mouth do the same things. Like, what? And then we played the song.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for that one. So, yeah, because I hadn't seen that. Listen, as a matter of fact, It's not music, but I have something. Like I said, I had something for Noelle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll make her smile. I'm going for this. Now, this could end up like one of those things where your parents buy you something, and they're looking forward to your face on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And you give it to them, and the kid's like, I don't like that.
Kinda.
So I'm hoping that's not the case, but I think I hit pay dirt. So I'm gonna play something for Noelle later on. But, yeah, I tripped into this. That Prince performance. So, again, Prince, Play That Funky Music. You will enjoy it. You will enjoy the watch. I'm just guaranteeing you. All right. 7 o'clock hour. All right, let me take a breath here. Let me set up the rest of the hour, then the floor is yours. We got Karen Pestana joining us from New York, talking Wimbledon.
We get set for breakfast at Wimbledon. We don't know what she has for breakfast. We'll ask her what she's having for breakfast.
Okay. And so that's coming up. I'm trying not to be obnoxious. So this is me catching myself.
Thank you.
You like that?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be better. Doesn't always work, but I'm trying. And then we got Noelle's World coming up later on in the 7 o'clock hour. But as always, we start things off as we watch a friend of yours on TV.
Yeah.
What's going on locally?
Well, it's hot.
Okay, thank you.
It's roasted out there. A couple of things we mentioned, because we're counting down now to the start of the school year. And later on today, we're going to hear, you missed it yesterday, Dr. Kurt Miller joined us from Oconee County Schools, joined us to talk about an amendment to the high school NIL rule. for athletes in the state of Georgia. And as we mentioned, it's not supposed to work the same way as college. You're not supposed to have collectives. You're not supposed to have NIL clubs. And you can't, you know, post pictures of yourself or anything using, you know, a school jersey logo with the school name or logo on it. That, you know, if you go get you another jersey, maybe in the school color, say, okay, you know, that type thing. So they want to put some rules and regulations up about that, some guardrails about that, and amend that. Mm-hmm. That's coming up this week. So, you know, still look out for that and see what they come up with. But it's something special they want to do before they got into the school year. You know, Georgia is one of a number of states that does have NIL for high school. But just know, it's something that you endorse something, you're sponsored by something, you know, by a company or business or something like that. But it's not that you're going in and we got this collective that's going to get up a bunch of cash and say, hey, come over here and play. That will get you. We get you.
That's a problem.
Ruled ineligible. Just want people to know that's what's happening.
What do you think should be, because I know you don't know what it's going to be, but what kind of penalty? Is it monetary? Is it just removing the kid from?
That's the whole thing. First of all, he won't be able to play.
Right. That's first and foremost.
That's it. But if it's to the degree that it, you know, impacts the school, and the school or the school district could be fined possibly.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that's the whole thing, and that's why we talked about that creating a job. That creates a job for somebody within a school district to monitor, you know, NIL. If you're going to do an NIL deal, report it to this person in your school district, so that we know what's.
There's all kinds of happening. New jobs that have been created since that decision was made.
That's a job, and you know, we talked with Dr. Miller, and you will hear this conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. And he said, well, let's not put that on the coach. The coach is trying to weigh in and try to see, make sure people go into class.
Yeah, because usually when you're trying to circumvent rules, you don't include the coach.
Right.
You kind of do it behind closed doors,
right,
and he's sitting there like.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
talking about? I was watching Eight Men Out last night.
But I got practice coming up here
in
a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Kid Gleason didn't know nothing about the other eight men on that Black Sox team.
There you go. You know, so you have to do that. But you know, like I said, from the outset, you know, there were organizations that were setting up in place ready for NIL to come at the collegiate level. And also, you know, now there's some organizations that were setting up to do the same thing at the high school level. And why? Because we have great product. If you think about just this year alone, you think about the person that made the game-winning catch in the Super Bowl. We think about someone who played on the national championship men's basketball team, who was one of the lottery picks. Mm-hmm. Basketball, we're talking about Stephon Castle from Newton. I'm talking about Mecole Hardman from Elbert County. We talk about Jaylen Brown from Wheeler High School, your MVP of the NBA Finals. We talk about Raven Johnson with South Carolina women's basketball team. They know the talent is around here, you know. So, yeah, it's almost natural for some folks to want to set up some things and cash in on our young folk. You know, so I think that's what's at the heart of this.
Is Georgia being put in this at the level that they're putting in it because they're a right-to-work state versus one of the other states I'm just curious.
I don't.
Because there's a whole lot of uncharted territory with what is going on right now, and we're hearing about this hurdle that came up, and people didn't foresee that happening. So I was just curious if one state versus the other is, because you talked about, did you say we're like 30 or in the top whatever as far as the amount of teams that were ranked in this state?
And that's where I'm going right now.
Okay.
We're talking about our friend Jeff Fisher, and we hope to get him on here next weekend. This week he came up with the High School Football America Preseason 300 poll. Of course, he does his annual poll, and we have him on the show to talk about it. And of the top 300 high school programs preseason, 32 of those teams are from the state of Georgia. Which is one more than California. It's 32 from Georgia, one from California. The top-ranked team from Georgia is Milton. They are at number 9. And if they go out and start the season off with a win, they're going to climb because they open the season against Buford. So we'll see. That's the thing. If you're playing, you know, that level, you open up with a game like that to start your season. And, you know, you find out Milton has maybe over 30 seniors returning on their football team. That's an awful lot of experience.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk with the coaching staff out there and they say, hey, we just get to worry about coaching. We got some experience around here. They kind of keep folks in line. If somebody's out of line, you know, you got some leadership that everybody respects. And so that's half the battle won. you know, when you think about that type thing. So Milton has that going for them. They are number 9 in the High School Football America preseason top 300 poll. So a lot of teams going down the list. Like I said, we're going to get them on. We're going to get them on and find out why our team have to start at 9. Why can't our team be up? Well, but of course, you got Mater Dei up at the top, and Bishop Gorman is number 2. So those are the top 2 teams in the nation. That's California and Nevada. And those are some, you know,
I'm always surprised. I've always been surprised at high school, college not so much, but high school powerhouses, meaning teams that are regularly, you know, we won the last 5 in a row, or we, you know, we're there at least in the game for the last decade. They are up there. And I'm saying this because of the turnover on the high school level.
Yeah.
And how does that particular school in that particular area, now, listen, I'm not so naive as not know about movement, but still, I'm always just surprised.
Well, the teams that's really who's at the top now. When you talk about the teams at the top now, these are like academies. These are like private schools, and so you got dudes who are definitely on the college track.
But that wasn't always the case. And again, that's why I'm saying I was surprised.
But that's when you talk about the top polls in this one or USA Today or any of them. That's kind of what's happening right now.
So when you started this, you know who I was thinking you were going to say was first? Grayson.
No.
Again, I'm just saying this is because perennially, since we've been together working, they've been that team that's come out your mouth
they've
most.
They're more called Colquitt County.
Ooh, that brings up another name, but we're not going to get into that because I'm trying not to be so obnoxious.
Okay.
But shout out to Mr. Probst.
Yeah. Well, he's. I don't think I don't think he's coaching right now. He's over in Alabama.
Is he?
Walked out of the school.
He run about the state?
Well, no. He was apparently. The last I heard. Last I heard he was at a school and they had to have a meeting to decide that he would stay.
They had to have a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's always a meeting. They had to have a meeting and they decided, okay, he would stay. And then after they had the meeting for him to stay, he decided, okay, I'm going to leave. And so he left.
He just backed up 10 yards and
played. Yeah. So we don't know.
Okay.
We don't know where he lands.
God bless Russ Probst.
Yeah.
His movement has kept me interested.
You think
in the sport. Yes. He's like James Bond in that we've never met before, Mr. Bond, but I've been following your movements.
It was easy to follow the movements because there's always a lot. You know what? He's a lightning rod. He doesn't mind being that, but wherever he is, he's going to be winning, right? Yeah. And speaking of winning, let's talk a little baseball. All-Star break is about to happen. Last day for the majors to play before they take the break, All-Star. The game's already taking place in Arlington. They had the swingman game that took place Friday night. Of course, that's one with the HBCU All-Stars that play in that game. It's great that they do that. They had the Futures game yesterday. Futures game and the winner of the Futures game, I think the National League beat the American League in the Futures game. 6-1 National League. And the MVP of the Futures game is a young man who played his high school ball here in the area. Cam Collier played at Mount Perrin Christian out in Kennesaw. And so he's in the farm system for the Cincinnati Reds. Had a big game, so shout out to Cam Collier for being the MVP of the Futures game. He had a big home run. Drew Jones was playing in the game. Andrew Jones' son is out there playing. He's climbing the ladder. He's not climbing as fast as Dad did.
Nope.
But you know, you don't have to have that pressure to do everything that his dad did. It was pretty, which is so amazing. So that was happening. Today is the baseball draft, and the Cleveland Guardians have the number 1 pick. The Cincinnati Reds have the 2nd pick, and one of those 2 teams are expected to pick Charlie Condon, who's the college player of the year from University of Georgia. And so we expect to hear him called very early in this baseball draft, and that will happen later on today. And he's, you know, baseball, he's done everything at the collegiate level. He's also right at Cobb County. Shout out to Walker School. So everybody out there's got to be, because here's a guy that I don't think people expected this from him. You know, he's been one of those pleasant surprises. He's gotten a great situation with Georgia, and we're just ripping the cover off the ball. So
he's projected to go to Cincinnati coming out at number 2.
That's where
he's projected.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. If he's jerking him out, like you say, and I have not seen him play, that is the best location for him to land. Because if there's other than Wrigley Field, that's probably the smallest ballpark. It's a hitter's ballpark. And so for him to go there, they choose him, that's going to benefit these Reds.
All right.
So you like that.
We'll see what happens.
All right, coming up, we are going to find out what Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama, thinks of yesterday's ladies final and then today's men's final. That is coming up next as we sit here on a day that is, we say happy birthday to Nolan Ryan's personal speed bag.
Wow.
I stole that from Jim Rome, but today's Robin Ventura's birthday. And if you've not seen that footage, again, I stole it from Jim Rome, but he really was Nolan Ryan's personal speed bag when he decided to rush the mound all those years ago. Coming up, we're going to talk tennis. Karen Pestana joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nine.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
See ya. 92.9thegame.com and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Every time I hear this song when we bring Karen on, and the fact that she loves this song, this performer, I think of her in this video. Have you seen this video for this song? Was it Desiree?
I remember the video.
Multiple
pictures of her.
Strutting around all confident in that black outfit that she's wearing. And I just wonder, you know. There's people I like to be like in videos too, right? You know, so I picture Karen doing this particular video. I don't know.
Morning, Karen.
Good morning, Karen. What are you having
good
for breakfast? It was asked earlier, how are you enjoying your breakfast at Wimbledon? Or watching Wimbledon?
Oh, fine. You know, it is what it is. I've been doing it for a long time. Long time.
Do you actually have breakfast while you watch?
It's so funny because up until maybe a couple of years ago, my family and I would try to have breakfast that from the countries represented in the final, not just the strawberries and cream. Well, we haven't done it in a couple of years. I have to try to go back to that as a fun thing to do. You learn a little bit about where the players come from and what typical breakfasts are from those countries.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought the strawberries and cream were from the French Open.
No.
No,
what's the French Open
breakfast? No.
What's the French open breakfast?
No. Yeah, but the cream in Great Britain is more like the cream you put in your coffee, not like fluffy whipped cream that we think of in the U.S. when we think of, you know, cream with fruit and all that.
Well,
yeah.
But anyway.
Good old American pancakes.
No, man. No. Let's start with yesterday before we get into today, and the women's final was quite a final match, entertaining match.
Yeah,
too.
It was.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, it split 6-2 sets, and then the final set just, you know, it came down to a break of serve. It was an entertaining match. I mean, things kept shifting. And in the end, the person with the most experience in major finals won, and that was Krejcikova, who won the French Open in 2021. So she had a little bit more firepower than Jasmine Paolini. But
Karen,
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask you. We talked about this, and when you joined us last week, you were talking about this wasn't a star. Or the last time we talked to you, this wasn't a star-powered final, but yet, mm-hmm. Okay, it happened, and you know, sometimes top seeds get knocked off. Moving forward, though, what should we expect from these two women as far as seeing them again in finals, semifinals, so on and so forth?
Well, Jasmine Paolini is now number 5 in the world as of Monday. I mean, she's making the final of Wimbledon and the French Open, and probably the next competition for her will be the Olympic Games. I expect her to do well in the Olympics. I mean, possibly even medal. Krejcikova, this year has not been a great year for her playing singles. She hardly won any of her matches, but I'm sure this is going to boost her confidence tremendously. So I expect her to do well the rest of the year. I mean, winning Wimbledon really lifts you.
Can believe that. And speaking of winning Wimbledon and getting a lift, folks here in Atlanta, we had a little something to smile about with Taylor Townsend winning the women's doubles with Siniaková. And it's something kind of, I won't say a dream deferred, but it's something that people expected to see Taylor maybe do sooner as she won Wimbledon junior. But the life mm-hmm. and career has been quite an odyssey for her.
Yes, it has been. And I was just thinking back. The first time I was in Australia covering a tournament, Taylor won the juniors at the Australian Open. I think she was 15 at the time. And just thinking back to, when you're in the juniors and you're a top-ranked junior, you think, oh, you know, you're going to have an easy transition to the pros, which she did, and you're going to be number one. But, you know, in her singles, she hasn't quite made it that, you know, into the top 10 or anything. But doubles, she's really a terrific doubles player. I mean, even back then, as a junior, terrific doubles player. So to see her do well in doubles, I mean, being a top player in doubles is going to affect her singles. I mean, she's still playing singles. She's not as highly ranked as in doubles, but it's going to give her a boost of confidence here. Also, winning her first major women's doubles title. Now, she can say that she's won, quote-unquote, a doubles slam. I hate using the word slam. I prefer major. But she should be really proud, and she'll be on cloud 9 for a long time.
Yep. And she's a mom. So that's the thing that she's doing, folks. Spending time, you know, on the waitfor.com hotline talking with Karen Pestana. Tennis Panorama News. She is social. You can find things that she's writing about tennis. And as a matter of fact, coming up later today with the men's final at Tennis News TPN, at Tennis News TPN. All right, Greg, you ready to talk about the men's final today?
Well, I'm waiting to hear what she's got to say, but she know. Listen, she knows where my head is at. She just knows.
My analysis of this final, okay. Djokovic comes, I mean, he had a way easier draw but you can only beat who is in front of you. And he has 4 less hours on the court than Carlos Alcaraz because he didn't have to play one of his matches. He had a walkover because someone retired before the match began. Carlos, I wouldn't say it has necessarily been his best run. He keeps falling behind early and then coming back, but he figures things out. He's like, okay, I did this wrong, let me correct it. He's that way. Now, last year, Carlos beat Djokovic in five sets. And my prediction, I hope I'm not Charles Barkley when I make this prediction because his predictions are always wrong. I'm going to say Alcaraz in five sets. I just think his youth is going to prevail. I really do, but I think it's going to be five sets. Not going to be easy. It's going to be a battle.
Okay, yeah. we're all picking Alcaraz. The three of us.
I'm saying Alcaraz in four.
Mm-hmm.
But not Greg.
No, I don't need the number of sets. Just win.
Need to ask Greg what he. I didn't even need to ask Greg.
No, she knows who I am, but I'm not going to pick. I'm not Ali here. I'm not going to pick the round. I don't care. I just want him to win. I just want Alcaraz to win. I want him to start his pursuit of being what's next, and I want him. Was it Sinner? Who's the guy that got knocked out?
Sinner.
I want those two to compete. And Medvedev. I want those guys to be the next threesome that go, for the next decade and then bounce back and forth. I want them to be Federer, Nadal, and Joker for the next decade.
Yeah, so let's see if it's the changing of the guard. Now, funny thing is, this is the first final Djokovic has been in this whole year.
Yep.
He hasn't won any tournaments all year. It's shocking to say.
Yeah.
But, we'll see. I mean, it should be a really good contest. I mean, they always produce fantastic tennis between them. They really do. It should be fun to watch.
A lot of people didn't think Djokovic would be here. I mean, he had a procedure done on his knee that is usually a 6 week recovery, 6 to 8 week recovery.
Yeah, he had it. Was it June 4th? I think it was. He had arthroscopic surgery on his right knee. And that's the miracle of science. He's back here already, back playing. Actually, Taylor Fritz, the number one American, he had the same surgery a couple of years ago and right before, like a month before Wimbledon was back. So I have a feeling Djokovic could have maybe used his surgeon. Who knows?
We haven't even asked Karen. Are you going to cover, not just from home, but would you be able to get credentialed to go to the Olympics? And cover tennis
that
there?
Is a long and arduous process.
Really?
And one that I am not going to be able to go to Paris. But okay. It's a long process because you have so many people applying for different sports. So, it's divided up and you have so many countries. I, at one point, I forgot which Olympics, I made it to the alternate list to cover it.
Okay.
But I didn't get there. It's extraordinarily tough to get credentials for the Olympic Games, I'm telling you.
Which one was
it? Not unless you're a rights holder.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is, some people want to go and they find out they got an athlete coming from their home or home country or hometown at the last minute and want to go. I mean, that's tough getting passports, finding some place to live. I mean, people say it like it's an easy thing. It is not
that's
easy.
That's the one thing. You're right, though. As far as media, I would wonder how they're set up.
Right. If you find out at the last minute, well, if this person qualified and you want to try to go over there and cover them, and, you can appeal to them. In major sporting events, if you're from the home of someone, if they can make a provision, they will. It's like at Augusta. You may not be normally going to cover the Masters. But if somebody from your hometown plays a tournament a month before and they qualify for it, you're in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I mean, that's... Yep.
The Olympics is a whole another thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, the two most difficult places to be credentialed for tennis, Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. I'm very happy I've been able to cover both of them. And the U.S. Open longer because I'm from here and I'm not far away.
Really. You just jump on the D train.
Yep, but you're also going to come
not near a subway, but I'm close enough, though.
But you're also coming to the Atlanta Open, and we found out that there's a change in the showdown on Sunday. We were expecting to see Venus Williams. She's not going to be able to play, so Taylor Townsend is going to play Sloane Stephens on that day. Here at Atlantic Station in Atlanta. So as your Atlanta crowd will be happy to welcome Taylor home and to see her play in this match against Sloane.
Yeah, that should be fun. The crowd will really love that, having Taylor out there. And I will be there for that. I'm making my way into Atlanta, a week from today in the morning. So I'll be on site the tournament before that exhibition match at night. So I'll let you guys know offline here what is happening with me.
We hope to see you. Hope to see you over there.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Karen Prestan, Tennis Panorama, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Listen, before we let her go, mm-hmm. I'm going to let you pick which one. But we lost a couple people yesterday that was a part of all of our lives for a period of time. Do you have any thought as we leave you today on either Richard Simmons or Dr. Ruth?
Dr. Ruth, she was hilarious, and she was pretty straightforward whenever she was appearing as a guest on any kind of show. You don't expect, a little older lady to talk so much about sex. And she just made things hilarious.
This has been the best. Go ahead, Karen.
I was going to say, you just don't think about this. She just always made people laugh. She really did.
This has been the best part of passing, but the tributes and the things that have been said about her. Everybody ends up kind of laughing and giggling because you remember this little diminutive woman.
Just how ridiculous the idea was.
It would be like the equivalent of people going, I don't understand. Okay, picture Danny DeVito talking sex to you.
Yeah, I know. Like, right.
That's basically.
I mean, Dr. Ruth was 4'7". Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, she was 4'7".
Anyway, I'm sure that she would be happy that we've spoken positively about her this morning, as we have.
Absolutely. Very much. Very much.
And so, Karen, enjoy the men's final, and thank you as always for your contribution to the show. And hopefully next week we get a chance to see you.
Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you guys.
All right. It's Darren Pestana joining Sam and Greg. We're going to venture into Noel's world up next on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Approaching the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking NASCAR. We're going to have a radio replay from Dr. Kurt Miller. There's movement going on in the world of high school NILs. There's a vote upcoming. Sam and I talked about this yesterday, and we had a nice conversation with Dr. Miller. We're going to replay that for you coming up at 8:20. Got a full-blown new casting call, but during that casting call, a couple things have been going on this morning. We're going to spend some time talking about that. Sam came in bearing gifts. I've got something for Noel. It's just one of those festive mornings. that sinister laugh.
It's going to be a very toasty one, too. But we thank Eretti for taking us along with it.
Yeah.
We'll be headed out to Sunday services this morning. Thankful letting us ride along with you. And, of course, all of our first responders and essential workers who are always there. They never get time off. They're always working, but that's what they do.
Exactly. And I see them in the morning here dealing with knuckleheads at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And by the way, and before we get to Noel, I'll make this quick. You folks at Georgia State, that eye is out again.
Really?
I'm coming in looking at the building from the connector, our beautiful downtown skyline.
Maybe more than just a bulb, then. It may be something else going on.
Well, somebody got to run over to Home Depot or Lowe's and get a couple of them.
Yep.
But the Georgia State is illuminated, and then it says Unversity.
Okay.
The eye is just
the eye is out again.
They need to fix that eye. Anyway, time for Noel, and what is going on with you? And good morning again. We just look forward to hearing you say good morning.
Good morning.
Hey! There she is.
All right, so we started this segment off with a live performance of Luther Vandross, but can you guess what show he was on?
Arsenio.
Ding! We are talking about the Arsenio Hall show this morning.
Okay.
Woo, 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 okay. Woo. Good job,
right.
Greg.
That's right.
So, last night I was doing some things. I had some stuff on in the background, and I came across this episode of Vice's Dark Side of the 90s.
That was
and,
my show.
Yeah, and we had a whole layout of the Arsenio Hall show. And it's always interesting to me when we have these lookbacks at his show because it was so unique. And for me, it was in the background of my life. We talk about, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. So I didn't really get to experience the way that you guys experienced it. So I want to hear how you guys experienced the magnificence of the Arsenio Hall show before Jay Leno took over.
You're assuming we feel the same way about it that you do.
I just asked how you experienced it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I watched it when, you know, there was somebody on there that I wanted to see.
Yeah, I watched it every night.
I didn't do it every night, but I didn't watch anybody every night because, first of all, during that time, I had a night show. In fact, my show was called The Dark Side.
Fair.
So I didn't watch a lot of late night. I taped a lot of stuff. What's the statute of limitations on a crime? Is it 7 years?
I don't know.
So as long as they're in the NFL, I think you'd be all right.
If I did something in the 90s that was cutting corners, that everybody did.
Yikes.
Actually, I shouldn't say I did it. I had a friend who had one.
It was watching what?
They had one of those.
It were,
one of them black boxes.
You know, I'm just saying those things that allowed you to watch some stuff, right?
Okay.
And
I thought you were going to say you would get movies before people could go see them at the theater. You know, that was always the thing when people could do that.
They did that. Tried that stuff. That was like more in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I never got one. Plus, the thing was always moving around. And the camera was never steady.
Well, yeah. People get up and get popcorn and you see it hitting around. But you're watching it. But you're watching
manual
it,
recording.
But you're watching this movie.
You can still hear the dialogue.
The thing about Arsenio for me was that he got guests that felt like they couldn't go on the other shows.
Yeah.
Right,
so
yeah.
You got a chance to see them there. And that was my attraction to watch. I'd record him, you know, when this particular guest was on or that one. And believe it or not, I had for the longest time his most famous episode. Now, if you had to guess what his most famous episode was, what would you guess? Knowing what you know, looking back or what you've heard.
Famous or most popular?
No. His most popular is subjective because that artist may not be your favorite artist. It's like food, singing, things like that are always.
Okay, so it was an artist. Okay, so.
I'm not saying it was an artist. I'm just saying, though, that's subjective when it comes to his, most famous show.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his most famous. There's something that happened on this particular show that made it. It will be played for eternity.
Was it Prince?
No. No. But what do you feel like is
was it Farrakhan?
No.
Okay.
Nah. I thought that was the one that a lot of people wanted. The one I thought was cool was he had the boxing champions on.
Exactly. You saw Tyson.
We had Tyson
that
on
one with Eddie
Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that was a good
one. Yeah. And that's one that stands out for me.
The one with Tyson came out and Eddie Murphy was with him and Eddie started doing Tyson in front of him. That was one. I'll tell you one. The last performance of Sammy Davis Jr., and they let Sammy just go. And I mean, it was like he was in Vegas. All right, man, let's try this. Ching, 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 ching. And then the band jumped in, right?
Yeah.
So you can actually YouTube those. His most famous one that will be played from here in eternity because it elected a president.
Okay, the Bill saxophone Clinton.
Yeah,
episode.
The saxophone,
okay.
Yeah.
So Bill Clinton goes saxophone. On there and plays the saxophone, and that was it. And he split right in between their Ross Perot and George Bush.
Went from last to not
last.
Yeah,
he jumped right between them two. And you can blame Ross Perot if you want for, you know, siphoning off some votes. But that Arsenio performance catapulted him.
Yep.
I thought the look back at the Prince episode was interesting, too. The fact that Prince refused to do the couch segment. So they got other people that knew Prince to do the couch segment and talk about Prince with Prince in the back room listening to. I thought that was very interesting.
Prince.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah,
isn't it Prince. So Prince?
Yep.
Doesn't it also match the We All the World? Okay, I'm going to come, but put me in a different room.
You know, but he wasn't going to be a part of that. He didn't think it was going to be what it was.
Right, I know. But even when he finally acquiesced and tried to compromise, okay, put me in a different room. No, that's not what we're doing, Prince.
How are you going to think that that point of his, that was 84 or 85. Purple Rain had only been out a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the confidence of everybody in that room, but he wasn't Prince then.
Right.
And he going to think he's bigger than Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and Diana Ross and Michael and all of them. Michael wasn't even the biggest one in the room.
Right.
Yep.
Michael wasn't even the biggest one.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I'm just saying, that for him to have that stance then says a lot about his confidence.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because you're talking about Arsenio, what do you think, his impact is lasting? Because there hadn't been anybody else like him, and CBS brought him back for a year. It only lasted for a year. It was great to see him back, you know.
You can't recapture
him. But you couldn't recapture that time,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Like, when he first did it, he was of the moment, just like all the artists he was bringing on. And now you're trying to recreate someone who's something with someone that's not really of the moment anymore. Like, you would have to take that same idea of Arsenio and put it on someone else and hope it worked.
But there was another dynamic in place here. He landed at a time where it's almost like athletes who are getting it done now. And some of the other athletes go, man, if I played now, imagine how much I'd make.
Mm-hmm.
He landed at a time where people were trying to push Johnny out the door.
Yeah.
You had Joan Rivers getting a show.
Right.
Also then.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a void. Like we just talked about Bill Clinton sliding in between Perot and George Bush. That's what Arsenio did. Fox gave him a bunch of money. Plus, Fox was hungry for late night.
Well, Fox turned him down.
Yeah. He wasn't on Fox. He was syndicated.
Okay,
he was syndicated.
Well, he was syndicated, but he was out of Fox channel.
He was on a lot of CBS channels, because mm-hmm. CBS didn't have late night.
most of the syndicated.
CBS didn't have late night.
Y'all talking about here in Georgia?
Chicago? Everywhere.
No. Most of the stations that aired Arsenio, maybe not in Chicago, but most of the stations were CBS affiliates.
Okay. Anyway, but that's
CBS
that's
didn't have late night. Their late night was what their show, TV show, Night Heat. And what was the other
show? Well, they were trying to do Pat Sajak.
But hang on a second. Joan Rivers got a Fox show, wasn't it?
But now I'm not talking about CBS.
I know that.
And that's why when Letterman went over, he said, I go on after your newscast.
Right.
And that bumped Arsenio back.
And Arsenio back behind him. Yeah, so Arsenio became late.
That's what did him in.
I'm trying to think of that timeline here, because Letterman went over 93.
That's what did him in.
And yeah.
Yep.
But he got a listen. He walked out with a $50 million
full paycheck.
Yeah,
that was reported.
He got a basket full of money. That's the truth. Because Paramount gave him the money that Fox had the money and the control that Fox didn't want to give him the second go round when they tried to offer him the contract.
I think Paramount basically produced it, but they distributed and to people who had an opening, and then so mm-hmm. the CBS affiliates didn't have good nighttime programming, late night programming.
Yeah, because they tried the Pat Sajak show, apparently, and that failed.
That's what CBS was
doing.
Listen, Chevy Chase had one for about a minute and a half.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was trying to show.
Everybody was trying to get in on the late mm-hmm. night game. And that's what I feel like my generation missed. Like, we didn't have that late night show that was speaking to us.
Yeah.
That had our voice. Because I've never watched late night. Not really, because late night never spoke to me. The jokes were like kind of old and stale. Yep. The talent was either super commercial that I wasn't interested in, or like kind of like those Tony Bennett revival situations. Like, not really interested in that either. Like, late night never grabbed my demographic, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
The closest was like the Monique Show, and that was on. Like, you had to have cable for that.
And the problem is there weren't enough stars to go around for the shows that were there.
And that was another problem they said that Arsenio ran into. Once everybody started having shows,
and then Johnny,
y'all competing for the same talent.
You know that, and he put a nix on anybody who went on other shows.
Well, apparently that's what killed Joan Rivers' show.
Yep, that was exactly.
He did it ASAP.
She messed him over because she was his permanent. He made her a permanent guest host.
But I can't be a guest host forever. I'm trying to spread my wings too.
You can't take that attitude with Johnny. Not then.
I understand who you're dealing with.
She had been in show business for a long time,
but she
was ascending to a spot that no woman had occupied before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Johnny never gave that blessing to anyone. This is pre-Leno and Letterman. Mm-hmm. He had never gave the blessing to come do my show and be the other voice. And then when she went and negotiated the other contract, Johnny was like, uh-uh. And he was cutthroat. We found out later on what kind of dude he was behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason he stayed on top for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but Arsenio found clever, and just due to the voice he was trying to speak to, he found clever ways to kind of circumvent that until he became the thing to be at. But there was no place for LL Cool J or, a Public Enemy or whatever to go. So that created a perfect, really, market for him. He filled the market of need.
Hammer.
Yeah. Well, Hammer, Ice-T.
But them guys were
coming in and talking down on Hammer.
But his whole entourage being on that show. You're talking about the show.
40 folks on stage.
Exactly.
That made a good-looking shoulder. Like, if I saw 40 people on stage, well, you on the Arsenio Hall show, yeah, I need to get that ticket.
Yeah,
I need to be down at the Omni when Hammer and his pants show up, because that looked like a show. So I feel like my generation missed that. That's why I wanted to have this conversation with y'all, because y'all was in the moment of the time.
Here's one. Let me
remember
flip it
differently than me.
Let me flip it. What about daytime talk shows? Did you connect with any of them?
I only really, truthfully watched Oprah. I faithfully watched Oprah at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then into the news.
Now, see, she was, you know, you remember Oprah was like Jerry Springer when she started.
Yeah, it was like a mix between Jerry and Donahue.
She was more Donahue.
Yeah.
But she was doing the crazy stuff, and then she, you know, flipped it. And so I don't know how many years in, but yeah, then she became who she became. But yeah, she never had folks fighting on there.
Yeah,
had a lot of people fighting. Okay, but she had people screaming at each other.
Well, yeah,
on a regular basis. Yeah. Is that it?
I think that's it.
It's your world.
She just teed us up and wanted us to talk about Arsenio.
Yeah.
I thought the band was great on there.
The band was great.
Yeah.
I have something for her.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to. We're going to do it coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I'll probably do it during casting call. Also, I reached out to Carl yesterday.
Okay.
Me and Carl Dukes.
Okay.
I can't get any back and forth. Talking, because we were both having a conversation about that whole Jerry Rice thing. So, yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 982.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Approaching the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking NASCAR. We're going to have a radio replay from Dr. Kurt Miller. There's movement going on in the world of high school NILs. There's a vote upcoming. Sam and I talked about this yesterday, and we had a nice conversation with Dr. Miller. We're going to replay that for you coming up at 8:20. Got a full-blown new casting call, but during that casting call, a couple things have been going on this morning. We're going to spend some time talking about that. Sam came in bearing gifts. I've got something for Noel. It's just one of those festive mornings. that sinister laugh.
It's going to be a very toasty one, too. But we thank Eddie for taking us along with him.
Yeah.
We're going to be headed out to Sunday services this morning. Thankful letting us ride along with you. And, of course, all of our first responders and essential workers who are always there. They never get time off. They're always working, you know. But that's what they do.
Exactly. And then I see him in the morning here dealing with knuckleheads at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And by the way, and before we get to Noel, I'll make this quick. You folks at Georgia State, that eye is out again.
Really?
I'm coming in looking at the building from the connector, our beautiful downtown skyline.
Maybe more than just a bulb, then. It may be something else going on.
Well, somebody got to run over to Home Depot or Lowe's and get a couple of them.
Yeah.
But the Georgia State is illuminated, and then it says Unversity.
Okay.
The eye is just
the eye is out again.
They need to fix that eye. Anyway, time for Noel, and what is going on with you? And good morning again. We just look forward to hearing you say good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. There she is.
All right, so we started this segment off with a live performance of Luther Vandross, but can you guess what show he was on?
Arsenio.
Ding! We are talking about the Arsenio Hall Show this morning.
Okay.
Woo, 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 okay. Woo. Good job,
Greg.
Right.
You know, that's right.
So, last night I was doing some things. I had some stuff on in the background, and I came across this episode of Vice's Dark Side of the 90s.
That was
and,
my show.
Yeah, and we had a whole layout of the Arsenio Hall show. And it's always interesting to me when we have these lookbacks at his show because it was so unique. And for me, it was in the background of my life. We talk about, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. So I didn't really get to experience the way that you guys experienced it. So I want to hear how you guys experienced what the magnificence of the Arsenio Hall show before Jay Leno took over the...
You're assuming we feel the same way about it that you do.
I just asked how you experienced it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I watched it when, you know, there was somebody on there that I wanted to see.
Yeah, I watched it every night.
I didn't do it every night, but I didn't watch anybody every night because, first of all, during that time, I had a night show. In fact, my show was called The Dark Side.
Fair.
So I didn't watch a lot of late night. I taped a lot of stuff. What's the statute of limitations on a crime? Is it 7 years?
I don't know.
So as long as they're in the NFL, I think you'd be all right.
If I did something in the 90s that was cutting corners that everybody did.
Yikes.
Actually, I shouldn't say I did it. I had a friend who had one.
It was watching what?
They had one of those.
It were,
one of them black boxes.
You know, I'm just saying those things that allowed you to watch some stuff, right?
Okay.
And
I thought you were going to say you would get movies before people could go see them at the theater. You know, that was always a thing when people could do that.
They did that. Tried that stuff. That was like more in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I never got one. Plus, the thing was always moving around. And the camera was never steady.
Well, yeah. People get up and get popcorn, and you see they're hitting them around. But you're watching it.
And you were recording.
But you're watching this movie.
You can still hear the dialogue.
The thing about Arsenio for me was that he got guests that felt like they couldn't go on the other shows.
Yeah.
Right,
so
yeah.
You got a chance to see them there. And that was my attraction to watch. I'd record him, you know, when this particular guest was on or that one. And believe it or not, I had for the longest time his most famous episode. Now, if you had to guess what his most famous episode was, what would you guess? Knowing what you know, looking back, or what you've heard.
Famous or most popular?
No. His most popular is subjective because that artist may not be your favorite artist. It's like food, singing, things like that are always...
Okay, so it was an artist. Okay, so...
I'm not saying it was an artist. I'm just saying, though, that's subjective when it comes to his... What was I saying? Most famous show.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his most famous. There's something that happened on this particular show that made it. It will be played for eternity.
Hmm. Was it Prince?
No. But what do you feel like is
was it Farrakhan?
No.
Okay.
Nah. I thought that was the one that a lot of people wanted. The one I thought was cool was he had the boxing champions on.
Exactly. You saw Tyson.
We had Tyson
that
on
one with
Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's a show.
That's one that stands out for me.
The one with Tyson came out and Eddie Murphy was with him, and Eddie started doing Tyson in front of him. That was one. I'll tell you one. The last performance of Sammy Davis Jr., and they let Sammy just go. And I mean, it was like he was in Vegas. And, all right, man, let's try this. Ching, 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 ching. And then the band jumped in, right?
Yeah.
So you can actually YouTube those. His most famous one that will be played from here in eternity because it elected a president.
Okay, the Bill saxophone
Clinton.
Episode.
The saxophone,
okay.
Yeah.
So Bill Clinton goes saxophone. On there and plays the saxophone, and that was it. And he split right in between there, Ross Perot and George Bush.
Went from last to not
last.
Yeah,
he jumped right in between them two. And you can blame Ross Perot if you want for, you know, siphoning off some votes. But that Arsenio performance catapulted him.
Yep.
I thought the look back at the Prince episode was interesting, too. The fact that Prince refused to do the couch segment. So they got other people that knew Prince to do the couch segment and talk about Prince with Prince in the back room listening to. I thought that was very interesting. Isn't it, though?
Yeah,
isn't it Prince. So Prince?
Yep.
Doesn't it also match the We All the World? Okay, I'm going to come, but put me in a different room.
You know, but he wasn't going to be a part of that. He didn't think it was going to be what it was.
Right, I know. But even when he finally acquiesced and tried to compromise, okay, put me in a different room. No, that's not what we're doing, Prince.
How you going to think that we're at not. That point of his, that was 84 or 85. Purple Rain had only been out a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the confidence of everybody in that room, but he wasn't Prince then.
Right.
And he going to think he's bigger than Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and Diana Ross and Michael and all of them. Michael wasn't even the biggest one in the room.
Right.
Yep.
Michael wasn't even the biggest one.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I'm just saying, that for him to have that stance then says a lot about his confidence.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because you're talking about Arsenio, what do you think, his impact is lasting? Because there hadn't been anybody else like him, and CBS brought him back for a year. It only lasted for a year. It was great to see him back, you know.
You can't recapture.
But you couldn't recapture that time,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Like, when he first did it, he was of the moment, just like all the artists he was bringing on. And now you're trying to recreate someone who's something with someone that's not really of the moment anymore. Like, you would have to take that same idea of Arsenio and put it on someone else and hoped it worked.
But there was another dynamic in place here. He landed at a time where it's almost like athletes who are getting it done now. And some of the other athletes go, man, if I played now, imagine how much I'd make.
Mm-hmm.
He landed at a time where people were trying to push Johnny out the door.
Yeah.
You had Joan Rivers getting a show
right.
also then.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a void. Like we just talked about Bill Clinton sliding in between Perot and George Bush. That's what Arsenio did. Fox gave him a bunch of money. Plus, Fox was hungry for late night.
Well, Fox turned him down.
Yeah. He wasn't on Fox. He was syndicated.
Okay,
he was syndicated.
But he was syndicated, but he was on a Fox channel.
He was on a lot of CBS channels, but mm-hmm. CBS didn't
CBS
have late night.
Yeah, CBS did most of the syndicating.
CBS didn't have late night.
About here in Georgia? In
just
Chicago?
Everywhere.
No, most of the stations that aired Arsenio, maybe not in Chicago, but most of the stations were CBS affiliates.
Okay. Anyway, but that's
CBS
that's
didn't have late night. Their late night was what their show, TV show Night Heat, and what was the other
show? Well, they were trying to do Pat Sajak.
But hang on a second. Joan Rivers got a Fox show, wasn't it?
But now I'm not talking about CBS.
I know that. That's where Arsenio landed.
And that's why when Letterman went over, he said, I go on after your newscast.
Right.
And that bumped Arsenio back.
And Arsenio back behind him. So Arsenio became late.
That's
late
what
night.
Did him in.
I'm trying to think of that timeline here, because Letterman went over 93.
That's what did him in.
And yeah.
Yep.
But he got a listen. He walked out with a $50 million
paycheck. Full of money.
Yep.
That was reported.
Yeah, he got a basket full of money. That's the truth. Because Paramount gave him the money that Fox had the money and the control that Fox didn't want to give him the second go round. When they tried to offer him the contract,
I think Paramount basically produced it, but they distributed and to people who had an opening, and then so the CBS affiliates didn't have good nighttime programming, late night programming.
Yeah, because they tried to pack Sajak's show apparently, and that failed. That's what CBS was doing.
Listen, Chevy Chase had one for about a minute and a half.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was trying.
Everybody was trying to get in on the late night game, and that's what I feel like my generation missed. Like we didn't have that late night show that was speaking to us.
Yeah.
That had our voice. Because I've never watched late night. Not really. Because late night never spoke to me. The jokes were like kind of old and stale. Yep. The talent was either super commercial that I wasn't interested in, or like kind of like those Tony Bennett revival situations. Like not really interested in that either. Like late night never grabbed my demographic, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No,
like,
it didn't.
The closest was like the Monique show, and that was on. Like, you had to have cable for that.
And the problem is there weren't enough stars to go around for the shows that were there.
And that was another problem they said that Arsenio ran into. Once everybody started having shows,
and then Johnny,
y'all competing for the same talent.
You know that, and he put a nix on anybody who went on other shows.
Well, apparently that's what killed Joan Rivers' show.
Yep.
He did it ASAP.
She messed him over because she was his permanent. He made her a permanent guest host.
But I can't be a guest host forever. I'm trying to spread my wings, too.
You can't take that attitude with Johnny. Not then.
I understand who you're dealing with.
She had been in show business for a long time, she was ascending to a spot that no woman had occupied before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Johnny never gave that blessing to anyone. This is pre-Leno and Letterman. Mm-hmm. He had never gave the blessing to come do my show and be the other voice. And then when she went and negotiated the other contract, Johnny was like, uh-uh. And he was cutthroat. We found out later on what kind of dude he was behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason he stayed on top for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, but Arsenio found clever, and just due to the voice he was trying to speak to, he found clever ways to kind of circumvent that until he became the thing to be at. But There was no place for LL Cool J or, a Public Enemy or whatever to go. So that created a perfect, really, market for him. He filled the market of need.
Hammer.
Yeah. Well, Hammer, Ice-T. But them guys were coming in and talking down on Hammer.
That's true, but I'm just saying, him and his whole entourage being on that show. You're talking about the show.
40 folks on stage.
Exactly.
That made a good-looking show. Like, if I saw 40 people on stage, well, you on the Arsenio Hall show, yeah, I need to get that ticket.
Yeah,
I need to be down at the Omni when Hammer and his pants show up, because that looked like a show. So I feel like my generation missed that. That's why I wanted to have this conversation with y'all, because y'all was in the moment of the time.
Here's one. Let me
remember
flip
it differently than me.
Let me flip it. What about daytime talk shows? Did you connect with any of them?
I only really, truthfully watched Oprah. I faithfully watched Oprah at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And then into the news.
Now, see, you remember Oprah was like Jerry Springer when she started.
It was like a mix between Jerry and Donahue. She was more Donahue.
Yeah. But she was doing the crazy stuff, and then she flipped it. I don't know how many years in. But yeah, then she became who she became. But yeah,
she never had folks fighting on there.
She had a lot of people fighting, okay, but she had people screaming at each other on a regular basis. Yeah. Is that it?
I think that's it.
It's your world, we just want to make sure.
She just teed us up and wanted us to talk about Arsenio.
Yeah.
I thought the band was great on there.
The band was great.
Yeah.
I have something for her.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do it coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I'll probably do it during casting call. Also, I reached out to Carl yesterday.
Okay.
Me and Carl Dukes.
Okay.
I can't get any back and forth. Talking, because we were both having a conversation about that whole Jerry Rice thing that took place at the American Century Championships, where a reporter has now made it pretty much impossible for me to do what I did 4 or 5 years ago, where I had a conga line of Hall of Famers in there for Dukes and Bell. I went out there and did the thing, but somebody said something to Jerry Rice, one of these little knucklehead reporters who just showed up.
Yeah,
you know,
we saw that yesterday.
And
right?
Jerry Rice did a post pattern. He walked past the guy, and then turned around and came back at him. and was talking more like Lawrence Taylor than what we think of with Jerry Rice. So they're going to close ranks. It's going to be tough to get any media. There's a media center that is in the clubhouse there that you can go to, and they do, you know, interviews there. That's where NBC is set up for their interviews that they'll do on the broadcast today and yesterday. But you had access to the course that first year after Steph Curry won the MVP. Well, you know me anyway. I will get to places I ain't supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's what I do. Is, you know, and if somebody says no, I get out of the way. But I got I infiltrated this little area and found my way next to Steph Curry as he was coming off the putting green, and that's when I had all that weight. I said, "Hey, man, it's the fat dude from Atlanta," and he smiled. And I said, "Listen, you want to give a shout out to Atlanta?" I gave him my phone, and he was headed into the locker room. And for the next 5 minutes, he was on with Carl. I mean, 5 minute interview, just walking and talking, and I was walking with him because he had my phone. That kind of access is going to be gone now.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jerry Rice and that situation this weekend, and Aaron Rodgers has made it. He has tried his best to keep the media away from everything, the driving range and all that sort of stuff. So I think they're gonna pull back. It's just gonna be tough. But Carl and I were talking about that yesterday. Shout out to Mr. Dukes and Dukes and Bell. Where are they gonna be at next? Because they need some promotion, right?
Whoa.
Dukes and Bell. No, I mean, you gotta let you know. Dukes and Bell are gonna be at Cloudland Resort on Monday. Did you know that?
Okay.
I don't even know where Cloudland Resort is.
They do, though.
Yeah, they do. And yes. So Dukes and Bell at Cloudland Resort on Monday. It was nice to hear from Carl. Anyway, coming up, 8 o'clock hour, NASCAR talk, Dr. Kurt Miller, and a fresh casting call where money is flying through the air. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.